Well, 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 good evening. Welcome to Ian's Place. My name is Ian, and this is my place. Thank you for showing up. Just to give you a little forewarning, I'm in Fort Lauderdale right now, and we're under severe warning. Well, we're having severe weather, and we're been warned of maybe some tornadoes. So if I lose you, the tornado ripped out the signal. But anyway, thanks for showing up this evening. Our topic tonight is truth. And what is truth? And where does it come from? I was going to give you my call-in numbers, but I forgot to write them in. And if you go to bbsradio.com, station number 2, Ian's Place, E-A-N-S Place, it will give you the calling numbers. So anyway, we're going to talk about truth tonight. And what is a truth? Well, a truth is something that you have experienced and you have learned from it and you own it. And now you can say, well, this is my truth. It's not something that you read. It's not something that you see in a documentary. It is something that is within you, that you have already gone through this experience, and then you can justifiably say, this is my truth. Many people take on other people's truths, and they mimic what somebody else has told them. Something they go, well, so-and-so said that this is the truth. And I'm supposed to believe what so-and-so said. So therefore, whatever they say to me, that's my truth. Well, no, that's just taking somebody else's suggestion and then living that suggestion as your truth. But a truth is earned. Is lived. So, once we get to the point of what your truth is, then you can say, well, I have experienced this. This is what I know for what I have experienced, and therefore, this is my truth. What we have done as a collective for eons and eons is gone to churches, gone to group meetings, and the leader says, this is the way that you are going to live your life. And if you don't live your life this way, then we're going to guilt trip you into it. So, I just lost my thought here. I'm watching lightning. So if you don't live the way that the church has told you to live, then we're going to guilt you into it until you do. And we're going to tell you exactly what's going to happen to you after you die. So if you want to go to heaven, then you have to act a certain way. And they're going to say that this is the way that you should live your life, and therefore it's your truth. It's our truth, and we're passing on our truth to your truth. And it wasn't even their truth in the first place, because it's just been handed down generation after generation for thousands of years of how the leaders, quote unquote, have told us to live our lives. But when you finally start waking up, when we start waking up and we want to be free, we have this intrinsic need to be free. All of us do. We want to be free of desperation. We want to be free of guilt and fear. It's just like when we, when we're walking along the beach and we're looking over the ocean and we just gaze out into the sunset, into the sunrise, and just out to the horizon. At that moment of pure bliss, we are free. And I know you know what I'm speaking of. It's the same thing when we go to a mountain and we look into a brook and we see the water running and we smile and we take a deep breath. We are free at that moment. And if we're free at that moment, if we can talk ourselves into being free at that moment, if we can take our thoughts to be free at that one moment, why is it we can't do it all of the time? Why have we trained ourselves to be afraid, to be doubtful, to be not content? Because they have been inbred in us over and over and over, and we have been taught how to be fearful from day one. But we know deep down inside, intrinsically, that there's this place of peace within us. We know that. And we search for it, and we'll do anything to get there. And all it takes to get there, the bottom line, is to change the way you're thinking. Because when you walk along a beach and you look out over the horizon, you look at a beautiful sunset, what you are doing is changing your mind instantly. You have gone from discontent to contentment in seconds because you decided your truth is when you look out over the horizon, you look at a sunset, you look at a sunrise, at that moment, your truth says, I'm now at peace. Even though I was fearful a moment ago, even though I was doubtful a minute ago, even though I was forecasting destruction in my life a moment ago, when you went to look at the water, you became peaceful, and you did it in a moment's time. You went from crying to taking a deep breath, changing your mind, and become peaceful. So if you take a look at that, and you start practicing how to change your mind, which you do, no one else can change your mind for you. You are the only one. No one, let's put it this way, no one can reach into your mind, inside your brain, and dial that little dial in there to fear, doubt, contentment, happiness, ecstaticness. You are the only one that can turn that dial, no matter what you're seeing in front of you. So your truth comes from your experiences and how you perceive that experience. And now you can say, this truth is one that I'm going to keep within me. And that truth is one that I have chosen not to live with. And so once we start awakening to wanting to be free, and free from what? Free from fear, free from doubt, free from discontent. That's what we want to be free from. And only us can do it to ourselves. No one else can make us be fearless or doubtless. It has to come from our thinking for us. So anyway, I may have to go here soon because it's starting to get pretty hairy here. I'm coming back to thought. So when you start realizing that your truth belongs to you and no one else, then you can start becoming free of their truth or their so-called truth. Because all you're doing with them is listening to their perception. All you're doing is listening to their truth. Now, whether you choose to take their truth on as your truth, is totally up to you. And then that takes a changing of mind. To change your mind into thinking a different way. There's many professional seekers out there that will go from one guru to the next guru, or to one minister, to a priest, to all these different people who are willing to tell you how to think and pray to God and how to have a truth. And they're professional seekers. And my question is, would they find it, whatever that is, whatever they're professionally seeking, from one religion to the next, from one guru to the next? They're looking, and what are they looking for? They're looking for a truth that sets them free. They are looking for a truth that brings them peace. And all of that is within them. It is within them to change their mind, to change their way of perceiving things. Because once they change their perception of what they're seeing, and it's no matter what they're seeing, they become free of that. And it takes an attitude change. When some people, some people have good attitudes, some have bad attitudes, some have cocky attitudes, and when they do, when they change the attitude to peaceful, to gracious, to grateful attitudes, what a shift from one to another. It's huge. It's a huge shift. And people notice that. They're going, oh, my God, what's going on with you? Well, I just had a shift. I started thinking. I started having different attitudes about my life. And when you have a gracious attitude, when you have a peaceful attitude, when you have a happy attitude, people notice that. And who did it? You did it. You changed your attitude. And so many people go, well, I just want to be happy. I just want to be content. Then do it. You are the only one who can be make yourself happy. You're the only one that can make yourself content. And you do it by an attitude change. I had a major attitude change this week. I went on a cruise. And it was the best thing that I've done for myself for a long time. Because there, you get a lot more thinking done without a lot of interruption. And then when I realized that when I was looking over to the ocean, in a moment's time, I was changing my attitude. I didn't take my work with me for a long time while I did the first couple of days. But then, you know, my attitude shifted. And it started calming down. Was I in a place that was, you know, conducive to my attitude change? Yes. But do I know I can do it when there's supposed chaos around me all the time? Absolutely. Because all it takes is a perception of peace. And then no matter who's yelling, who's screaming, who's throwing a temper tantrum, you can actually stay what's called centered. You can stay centered no matter what's going on, no matter who's yelling, no matter who's screaming, or the kids or whatever. And once you stay centered, as long as you stay centered, then everything around you will follow you. Everything will follow you being centered. Everything will calm down. Like in the Bible, when the disciples and Yeshua was on the boat, and there was a big storm, and everybody's panicking and yelling and screaming because the boat's going to capsize, and they wake up Yeshua and he raises his hand. He stayed calm. He did not join in the chaoticness around him. He stayed very calm. He raised his hands, and the seas calmed down. And we're supposed to be able to do that once we recognize who and what we are. But if you do not join in the chaoticness, supposed chaoticness of your life, then everything around you will join in your energy of peace. It will join in your energy of happiness. It will join with your contentment, because your energy expands and goes through all that chaoticness, and then the chaoticness joins in with the peacefulness. As long as you stay peaceful. And at any time, if you were to join in with the chaos, guess what? More chaos. And it's going to get worse chaos. When people start panicking and joining in with the panic around them, the panicking stays. It just hangs in there. But if there's one person in the crowd of 20, everybody's going crazy. And if there's that one person who stands fast and anchors his feet to the ground and stays in total contentment, stays in total peacefulness, the crowd will follow suit, because that's where we go intrinsically. We will go after the peaceful energy intrinsically. That's what we're searching for. And if we find it for a moment in time, we will calm down. It's just like police officers know, the really good police officers know what to do when they go into a chaotic crowd. They will all go in and say, calm down. And they're calm when they're saying calm down. And then the crowd follows their instructions. And then they get that chaos under control just by speaking and being calm. Shrinks or a psychiatrist, they stay calm when their patients are going crazy. They don't join in with their patients' chaos, because they know that's the worst thing to do. When people panic and they go into another area or another room and there's somebody in there calm, they search out the calmness when they're in panic, because intrinsically they know that's where they need to be, is in the calm. And more people want to be calm. But in order to be calm, to be in a calm environment, they have to be calm themselves. They have to learn. They have to train themselves. It's a process of learning how to stay calm. But they don't get that. They think something outside of them has to make them calm. A word or two, or an environment, or money, or something else. That's not what makes you calm. What makes you calm is who you are and how you're acting at any given moment in time. You are the one that says, I choose. I choose to be calm. And then take some deep breaths. Close your eyes. Stand tight and be calm, no matter what's going on around you. And that's a practice. That's, again, a process of learning how to stay calm. Have you ever noticed the calm person in the room? They own the room. when somebody who is centered and they're, you know, they walk into a room that everybody's partying and having a couple of drinks, and this one person walks through the room or just walks into the room, and all of a sudden all the heads shift to them, and it's because their calming energy goes before them. The whole room knows they're there, and they haven't even said a word yet, because that's who they are, and we recognize calm energy, and we gravitate ourselves to people who have calm energy. It's just, they're like magnets, because people want to be around their calm energy. This is something that is so embedded, it is so intrinsic within us, to want to be calm and peaceful. And we search it out, and we search for it, and we read a lot of books, we go to shrinks, we go to gurus, to become peaceful. And the only thing that they're spending thousands of dollars flying all over the world to get the answer to be calm and peaceful, instead of just being calm and peaceful. You just got to stop for a moment. Stop. Stop. And just be calm. Be peaceful. And now that garbage that's running up in your head, get rid of it. Wash it away. Blow it away. Or just be with it for a while and let it leave itself from your brain. But you cannot become peaceful until you are peaceful. You cannot become calm until you are calm. So stop looking, stop reading. Hello? Hello? I think I've been cut off. No? Don, are you still there? I've got a signal. I'm not sure. Okay, I'm back. I thought I was disconnected from the lightning bolt or something, but I guess I wasn't. So anyway, we were talking about being calm. You can't become calm. You have to be calm. And most people always put it out in the future because they're always flying around talking to everybody about, how do I become calm? How do I do this? How do I do that? Instead of just going to within themselves and being calm. How do you become calm? You don't become calm. You just be calm. And that just takes some reflection within yourself to think it through. That's what thinking process is for. To talk to yourself. Don't be afraid to talk to yourself. There's so many people that I know, they go home, they stay on the phone, or they're watching TV, they're always distracting themselves so they don't have to be with themselves. That's really scary for a lot of people. They always have to have somebody around them or distracting, so they don't want to think. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's where you want to go. But people wonder why they can't make themselves, quote-unquote, better. There's nothing wrong with anybody anyway. But they're the ones that are on the seeking journey. And they spend big bucks doing it. And if they just touch themselves, they just start listening to themselves, if they just start being with themselves. And that is so scary to so many people, to be by themselves. I would have to say that I was in that category at one time in my life. If I wasn't around somebody, I was on the phone with somebody or going somewhere. I just couldn't stay home and be by myself. And thank God I finally had a mentor that just said, you know, be by yourself. It's okay. You aren't going to hurt you. You're not going to punch you. You may start talking to yourself, but there's nothing wrong with that. And then once you get to know yourself, miracles start happening. You start being free. You start being content. You start being open to the world in a peaceful way. How great can that be? To be free of yourself and of your so-called demons and your so-called limitations and your so-called blocks. No one has a block. That's self-prophesized. Well, how do I get rid of this block? Stop thinking you have one. It's that simple. And we make it so hard. Stop creating blocks. Where do you think they come from? They come from our thinking process. If you think you have a block, you're going to. Or if you think that I'm going to be peaceful, you will be peaceful. There aren't any blocks. The only block is because of the way we think. That's it. You can't have a block unless you think you have one. And when you declare that you have a block, you have one. But the beauty of this is, once you declare you don't have one, you don't have one. The blocks go away. They disappear. They're not in your reality any longer. They're not in your thought process any longer. This takes a little bit of, you know, thinking your way through it. But once you realize you can say to yourself, oh, I've decided not to have any more blocks, they're gone. But people have blocks because it gives them something to talk about. It tells everybody how weak they are and they need help and sympathy. Why else would you tell anybody else you have a block? People are very proud of those. So other people will go, oh, I'm sorry you have a block. Why on earth would you tell anybody else you have a block? Because we want other people to touch us. And when we want other people to touch us, that means we feel very weak. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong. I'm just saying it might be a way of looking at this. But if you choose to be, to play a weak person, that means you're going to have a strong person in your life somewhere that you can lean on. And wouldn't it be nice to lean on yourself? Because that other strong person may not be around long. You know, they might just move on. So in order for you to be strong, you have to be a strong person. And strong people don't have weak people around them unless they want to play the weak-strong game. But most people do not want to be around, and most strong people don't want to be around weak people. But there's a lot of weak people that definitely want to be around strong people. So if you had a choice between being a strong person and a weak person, which one would you choose? And I can hear you now. Well, I'm trying to be strong. No, you don't try. You just do. You be strong. One step at a time. And then one day you're going to look behind you and you're going to see those weak steps in the sand. And every time you go, no, I'm not going to be weak anymore. I'm strong. And you're going to see the footsteps get stronger and deeper and more solid. And then one day you're going to turn around and you're going to say, wow, I can't believe those weak footsteps where I was. I can see them. And I can see, once I started changing my mind, that my footprints became more firm, became deeper, became more decisive. And now I stand erect, and my footprints reflect that. How and why did it take me so long to get these strong-looking footprints? And that's what you're going to ask yourself. Why did it take me so long? In many instances in your life already, you've asked yourself that question. Why did it take me so long? I've wasted so much time playing the weakened human being. I've wasted so much time playing a victim when I could have been the master of my reality. I could have enjoyed my family more. I could have enjoyed the people around me more. I could have done so much more had I taken control of my thinking, taken control of my life. And that's the truth of where I'm going to be. I've gone through all of these steps. And now I look back and I can say, oh, yeah, I have been there. I have played the weakling and I have played the victim. But you know what? Through that process, I became very, very strong. I became strong from being weak. I have become a master of my life. Playing victim. Again, it's a process that we all go through. And once you stop playing victim, once you stop playing weakling, you become a stronger person and a master of your life, manifesting your life your way. But we all seem to look back. We've gained that wisdom of being a weaker person, of being a victim, then all of a sudden we blossom into, I am strong. And I got to be strong through being weak. Isn't that wonderful? You went through the process one step at a time. And at the end, you became this lily. You became the green grass. You became this oak tree that you stand firm, you are centered. And there's not a lot of people that can push over an oak tree. But the oak tree started very small. And through all the fires and through all the droughts, and I don't know if oak trees get diseased or not, but because of that, it made the tree stronger. And that's what the human beings want. human beings want to be stronger. They don't say, well, I'm a strong human being, so I decided to become weak. Doesn't happen. They innately become stronger one step at a time. And to change that, they have to start changing the attitude about their surroundings. They have to start changing their mind to become stronger. And until you change your mind completely, you're not going to become strong. You're going to stay where you are. So if there's anybody out there that wants to call in, go to bbsradio.com. You're probably there already. Station number 2, and there's the call-in numbers. Unfortunately, I'm not where I have my numbers written down. I'm in Fort Lauderdale, just coming back from my vacation. So if you'd like to call in, I'd love to listen to you and hear from you. I wasn't prepared as much as I should have been tonight. I was watching this storm, watching the little ticker thing under the thing said severe warning. Looks like the storm may be blowing over. But let you know a little bit about what I did. I went down to the Grand Turks this last week, and I saw the people who catch rainwater in these big buckets. This island is like 4 by 6 miles, and that's their water source. And they can't grow vegetables on this island because it's sand. It's not soil or dirt. And they have a ship that comes in and brings their staples once a week. And if they run out before the end of the week, SOL. And these people were amazingly happy. They were so happy and smiling all the time. Probably because all the tourists were coming in, but they were smiling. And some, you know, a lot of people would take a look at that and think destitute. But these people weren't, that wasn't their attitude. Their attitude was a smile on their face, an earnest smile. And they had a school. They just built a new courthouse and a library. And they were content. Most people, especially from the United States, would look at that and think the opposite, how much they didn't have, that they were poverty-stricken. There would be not a smile on many American faces. But I looked at these people, and they're just big grins. And what's the difference? Why are they smiling? And a lot of Americans who have a lot more than they have a frown. It's called attitude. There's this thing within each one of us. Some call it God. Some call it Allah. That loves so greatly. And when you start opening up yourself to receive it, or even to, not even to receive it, to feel it, to feel the pulse of the love. A lot of times when I had enough of life, I just kind of lay on my bed and just feel. And I know I have the opportunity to just, or I have the ability to just sit there and feel it and acknowledge it and allow it to fill my whole body. And I will do that for the longest time because I need to remind myself what this life is all about. And it's about loving. It's about loving your neighbor. It's about loving your spouse and your children and your coworkers. It's about love. love does not have any pain attached to it. You can't love and have a severe pain at the same time. When you are overwhelmed, when you fill every ounce of your body with love, through thought process change, listen to the words, you change your thinking. You feel your whole body. You start at the top of your head, and you just feel it. 1 half inch at a time. You feel that part of your body with love, and you can do it. It's done. Many people do. And just lay there until you feel it through your whole body. You just feel it. And once you feel it, you will know that you want to pass that feeling on to other people that you love. Wouldn't it be amazing when you feel the epitome of love within your whole body, that your neighbor could feel that too? Or the guy at the gas station? Can you just take that loving feeling and walk outside and greet your neighbor? Do you know that energy just goes before you? I know you felt it with other people. You have felt love from other people. You don't even know them. They're walking down the street, and all of a sudden you turn your head, and you go, there's that energy. That's the loving energy that they have mastered, that they know how to use it. And that energy goes ahead of them. And everybody feels it. And then they put a smile on their face because they have felt the loving energy from somebody who has mastered loving energy. I guarantee you somebody is going around with a grimace on their face, and I call it the ugly energy. Nobody's going to come up and watch you go by and smile and say, oh, he's got ugly energy, let's smile. No, they're just going to look at you and walk by you, and both of you lose. Both of you lose. When we walk by people and we don't share our smile with them, we both lose. People love to connect with other people. And to make my point is the millions of people there in the chat room. They want that connection. We want each other's connection. We are so hungry to connect with each other. But yet when we pass each other on the street, we rarely even look at each other, let alone smile. I've made it a point to look at people in the eye and smile when I walk by them. I've been doing it for a few years now. And it's amazing how many smiles I get back. People really want to acknowledge each other. We really want to feel each other's smile energy. It's amazing how many smiles I get back. And a lot of people are just kind of hesitant at the beginning, but I don't stop. I just look them in the eye and smile and acknowledge and nod and acknowledge them. And it's just wonderful when you get it back. People want to connect with each other. Another case in point is this poker rage. Now, if that doesn't tell you how people want to connect, all of a sudden, No Limit Hold'em comes out, and you got millions of people on the internet. You got hundreds of thousands of people all over the world in poker rooms now. I don't believe it's about winning or gambling or, winning the money. It's about connecting, and they found a place to connect with each other where they can talk back and forth. You know, sometimes they playfully talk back and forth, sometimes not so playfully, but they're connecting. The chat rooms are full of people who want to talk to each other. And I'm not talking about sex rooms. I'm talking about people who earnestly want to connect. What is that draw? What is it that just, oh, let's go to a chat room. Oh, let's go to a poker room. Let's, you know, let's interact with each other. What is it that is bringing us together? We're missing the love. We're looking for the love. We're looking for the connection. And what a great time to start by connecting with us, each other now. We're setting all these things up for us to connect with each other. And then when we go by this, walk each other, past each other on the street, we don't look up, we don't smile at each other, we barely say hello. God forbid in an elevator, someone would crack a joke or pass a smile. What would happen if we actually started a conversation on the seventh floor? We're all looking for it. We all look for it from each other. We will find it within ourselves individually. But when we find it within ourselves, it's a contagious thing. Because other people notice your energy. They notice that loving energy. And who would you rather be around? A person with a lot of loving energy or a person with grouchy energy? Take your pick. Which one would you choose to be around? And if you would choose to be around someone who has a loving energy, wouldn't it stand to reason that if you chose to start having a loving energy, that people would connect with you more? Isn't that the case? Because you want to be around people that have loving energy. Why? Because you're looking for love. When you stop, when we stop and decide, I am going to have loving energy. I am going to be the master of my reality. And in my reality, there's only loving peace. And you're going to find that people start, you're going to draw to people who are looking for what you have decided to have, what you have figured out to have. Once you figure out how to be peaceful and loving, you're free. Do you think there's any people who are very loving and content that are not free? It's a pretty easy thing to become content, to become peaceful, to become loving. And once you choose, your choice. Once you do choose to be peaceful and loving, people are going to come to you because they want to see what you have. They want to share in that love. Maybe you can turn to them and say, I cannot give you what you don't have already. I love you, but I can't give you love. I can only be loving if you want to have what I have. You have to change your mind to have it. There's nothing I can do. It's going to be you that's going to change your mind into being loving and peaceful. And with that becomes giving. Well, I think my time is up for the evening. Next, I still have 10 minutes. Okay. I guess I have 10 more minutes. I really didn't plan this one out very well. I just got off my vacation today. But we were talking about being a loving and giving and kind person. And how people want, when somebody is a very loving and kind person and giving person, and I'm not talking giving of material things, I'm talking about giving in an emotional way, loving way. And people want to emulate somebody like that. They talk about them. And they go, God, what I would not give to be just like that person who's so peaceful, who's so caring, who's so loving. Well, there's nothing that you really have to give. You just have to be it, just like they are. The person that you want to emulate, do it. Why wait? Why do you have to start later? Why not just be that now? Just take some deep breaths and be the person you've always wanted to be in your head. We all have those fantasies. And then once you are peaceful, that is your truth. And where did you get your truth? By changing your mind and going from one energy to the next. And when you make this change to where you have always wanted to be, then that's your truth. You set up your own truth. I am a loving person. I am a giving person. I am a peaceful person. This is my truth. I am declaring it so. And I am the one who decided that. I am the one who played on it. I did it. No one else. I did it. I changed my mind. I decided to be loving. I decided to be giving. I decided to be peaceful. See how simple that is? Take a deep breath. You blow all that garbage away. You know when a body gets hurt? We go, blow it off, blow it off. We take a deep breath and we blow it off. All of a sudden our body doesn't seem to be as much pain as it was before we blew it away. You can do the same thing with your thought processing. We already do. When we get really excited and we're not thinking the thoughts that don't support us, we take deep breaths. And we blow them away. We're not conscious of what's going on. That's why we say to each other, just blow it off. Blow it off. Listen to the words. We're just blowing it off. So when we get ourselves into an emotional state, we take deep breaths and we just blow it off. So now that we start getting conscious about blowing it off, because once we take the deep breath and we blow it away, we blow it outside of ourselves, our body has a tendency to feel better, does it not? I am deciding to take in a deep breath and blow the emotions off that do not support me. I am making that choice. No one else can make that choice for me. I am the one that is choosing to be peaceful. No one else could make that choice for me. I am the one that is choosing to be giving. No one else can make that choice for me. No one else can make those actions for me except for me and my body. Nothing outside of me. Can change my thinking. For I am choosing not to allow outside sources to dictate my life. I am going to dictate my life for me. I think I'm just about off time here. Yep, we're at 57 minutes. Well, thanks for staying. And I will be seeing you next week. And I'll be a little bit better prepared next week. Until then, be peaceful. It's your choice. Be content. It's your choice. Until next week, this is Ian signing off. Take care. Bye-bye.